Johnny Fearn. Now, shortly after half-time, Waterford went ahead 3-1, and with about 12 minutes to go, it looked all up, looked curtains for Dundalk. Waterford were playing well, playing very well, when the famous switch was decided on, and that was to put Joe Ralph in centre-forward and Paddy Mullen back as full-back, and it worked immediately. Shortly afterwards, Leo McDonagh scored, left it 3-2, and practically with the last kick of the normal 90 minutes, Fergus Maloney managed an equaliser to leave it 3-3. It went to extra time, and the light was failing, so they decided to switch on the training lights for round the pitch, and it was an English referee. For some unknown reason, his card didn't specify how much extra time he had to play, but the normal run, I think, in England at that stage was that they played 15 minutes, whereas in League of Ireland football it was generally accepted that it was 10 minutes each way. He played 15 minutes. Waterford scored early in the first period of extra time, left it 4-3. But dramatically, Dundalk, I won't go into all the details, dramatically Dundalk came back and scored two goals in the second period of, or three goals in the second period of extra time to win 6-4. Now, the late Joe Donnelly, the following morning, just to emphasise what it was in, the late Charlie Donnelly, brother of Joe's, was going down Ann Street the following morning, and he shouts across at one of his supporters, "That was a terrible result last night, wasn't it?" And our friend shouts back, "What are you talking about, Charlie? Sure, it was great. Then we win 6-4. Charlie wouldn't believe it, and he broke his neck down to Mickey Brennan's to get the paper to see, to verify that Dundalk had actually won 6-4. that, I think, was one of the famous ones. The other one, of course, was, there are many. Bring it up more recently, I think, was the one that Dundalk beat Derry on Easter Monday. To win the double. You remember, they were two goals down, literally the same thing. They were two goals down with about 10 or 12 minutes to go, and they managed to win it. They actually went on to win the double then that year.
Tremendous stuff. You became a director of Dundalk in the mid-50s. How did that become about?
Well, in those days, the season ticket holders were the what would be the equivalent now of the shareholders, and there would be roughly about, I'd say about 200 to 250 season ticket holders. You may remember the old stand in Oriel Park. It was known as the Malone Stand for a while before it was had to be taken down. But
why was it known as the Malone Stand?
Well, that's another story, Jerry. It was, you remember, in 1966. When the pitch was turned round completely, complete alteration done in Oriel Park. But that old stand was the main stand at that time for the pitch for Oriel at that particular time. And with the new improvements, somebody decided the old stand would have to go. But I insisted, and the bulldozer was actually about to commence work on taking it down, when I insisted that stand would have to remain, because there was no other stand in the new Oriel at the time. That was one of the things. So ever since, it was known as the Malone Stand.
Right, now to go back to when you actually became a director in the 50s.
Yeah, well, in that time, as I said, the season ticket holders were the would be the equivalent of the shareholders at the moment. And as I said, there was roughly, to give you an idea, there were 300 seats allocated on that stand, principally for the season ticket holders. Now, the annual meeting each year was held, and the season ticket holders were the people who attended the annual meeting. And there was always great excitement coming up to an annual meeting, because it was usually who's going forward this year, you know. But it was usually a railway stronghold, if you don't mind me saying that. It was usually a railway stronghold. The old GNR usually had a good say in who was going to be on the board, because, well, you had Sam Prole and George Weir and a few more, like, who were actively involved with the railway and actively involved in football. In 55, I was asked to stand, and delighted I was elected, and have remained so ever since. A short break. I've been a member of the Dundalk Football Club since 1955, and from the board end of it, with exception of a short break from, I think it was from 1969 to 1970.
It's said that you came off your honeymoon to attend your first board meeting. Is that true?
No, that's not true, Jerry. Not quite. Remember, I was elected on the second Tuesday in June of 55. I was elected to the board, and on the following Tuesday, I was married to Agnes in Hagerstown Chapel, and we went on our honeymoon to Concastle in Mayo. And the following Tuesday was, of course, the board meeting in Dundalk, and on that Tuesday morning, coming down the stairs, I says to Agnes, "You'll be all right for the next couple of days. I'm going back to Dundalk. There's a board meeting tonight." And of course, she thought I was in earnest, and she got all upset, and, you know. But no, we didn't. I didn't adjourn to the board meeting. We stayed where we were.
You mentioned your wife, Agnes. How did you meet her? At a football match?
No, actually, I met Agnes for the first time. Bring back a lot of memories, I'd say, to a lot of people, in the old market house. That's where the bus office is at the moment. I don't know whether you remember the market house, Jerry, or not, do you? It's still there in the where the bus office is now at the moment. Prior to the late Barney McGuinness buying it, it was the revenue office, inspector of taxes, many a set to I had with him in the same building. But I think Barney McGuinness bought it in the late 40s, and then he turned it into dance hall, and I think that's where I met Agnes first.
And you've been happily married since?
Oh yeah, very, very, very happily married, and seven children, four girls, including twins, Una and Grania, and three boys, Paddy, Jim and Gerard. I'm sure you know Gerard.
I think we've heard of him from time to time.
MFM presents a country jamboree in the Ready Penny.